Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Weil.
Well, the Red Sox are 0-1 since the trade deadline, which, of course, came today. And the Red Sox made several moves to try to bolster their club. And we didn't see, we only saw one of them tonight in Johan Ramirez. And he was a guy that was sort of on the periphery of that. The bigger moves that were made, the guys that were actually acquired via trade. And we're going to get into all that tonight, but the Red Sox do lose again, and once again, they give up a lot of runs. It's the ninth time since the All-Star break they've given up seven or more runs in a game, and it's the sixth game in a row in which they have done that. Joe Weil with you. Thanks for joining us for Red Sox Review. We're going to break down the trade deadline here that the Red Sox just had, what they were able to do with the trade deadline, and if it really does satisfy us as people who, you know, live and breathe this team, watch them day in, day out. And we'll see ultimately in the end, as we continue to follow this year, if those moves that they did make end up getting them to the finish line, which we hope is a playoff spot. Joe Weil with you. Zach Kobach at WEI. 617-779-7937. The number to call in here. 617-779-7937. We want to hear from you after the trade deadline. Are you satisfied with what the Red Sox did, getting in a couple of arms? Of course, they brought in Danny Jansen as well. We did see James Paxton also on the mound, so I actually beg your pardon. I missed one of the more important things to say from the top. They did trade for James Paxton. So, of course, he was a part of what we saw tonight as well. But they also brought in some arms, and I was thinking more of the today and the more recent part of it with Lucas Sims coming in, and then also adding another reliever in Luis Garcia as well. But James Paxton, who they got a couple days ago, he ends up making his first start start here tonight for the Red Sox since being acquired from the Dodgers. And, you know, he was all right. 4 1/3 innings, 6 hits, 6 runs, 3 earned, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. And he was really hurt by the defense in the 5th inning that just ultimately gave away this game and allowed the Mariners to take the lead. And that continues to be a problem for this Red Sox team. Even as we discussed the need for bullpen help, you know, we talked about before the deadline, oh, this team needs to add some starting pitching, and then, of course, a right-handed bat. The defense is still awful. Like, in the aggregate of the year, like, you look at what they've done this year, and they're still, you know, at the bottom or toward the bottom of every defensive category. Most errors, most fielding errors. You know, again, I've rattled these stats off all season long. Fielding percentage worst in baseball as well. And that really killed them tonight in one way. The pitching still wasn't sharp outside of Cooper Criswell. And this team now 3-8 since the All-Star break. But we will see, and hopefully we will see it soon, the trade deadline acquisitions really coming in to help this Red Sox team. Because we know the bullpen has been depleted, obviously, with no Justin Slayton and no Chris Martin. And hopefully the guys that they've added, we'll talk about it tonight and why they Craig Breslow made the moves, how we feel about those moves, and all that. Again, and we want to hear from you, 617-779-7937. But let's hear from Alex Cora. Obviously a busy day for him, along with the front office. But let's hear what he had to say after a 10-6 loss here to the Mariners.
I mean, we've seen it before, so like I always said, talk about the situations, work at it, and you know, keep getting better. I was just talking to Dom, you know, like with positioning now, the second baseman's play right behind the bag, right? And in that one, we felt like they were gonna bunt, you know? So, I mean, it's on us, everybody to communicate, kind of like, they just move Hammy a little bit, play him straight up, and, you know, it was a long ways for him. You know, Dom did the right thing, and when he turned, you know, Hammy was still running, so he didn't want to throw it. So as a group, we just communicate, talk about it, and the next time we have a situation like that, we'll be better.
What did you see in the graphic play at third?
It was a balance. I mean, he tried to tag him, he was a balance, he didn't want to throw the ball. I mean, that out of the all the plays, that one, I mean, there's nothing you can do. Really good, really good. Good fastball, good breaking ball. Obviously, we didn't play defense behind him. Just felt like in that moment with Turner at the plate, was, you know, just bring Zach there. You know, we got a ground ball. We didn't turn the whole play, and then after that, it just didn't work out.
What did you see from Zach?
I mean, to Moore, it was a hanging slider. You know, we talk about getting hit, right? But when you work ahead and stay ahead, good things happen, right? And, you know, he gives up the double, and then after that, 2 walks in a row, right? And, you know, just put us in a bad spot. But the stuff is still good. The strike throwing is not as good as when he was throwing the ball well.
With the deadline pass,
Feel really good. I feel really good. I think the bullpen is going to be in a good place. Obviously, waiting for guys to get healthy. By the way, Tristan DH. He didn't play first. He's playing first tomorrow. I'm all over the place. 2 good arms. Obviously, different. Hard throwing sinker bowler. The other one cuts the ball and sweeps it. You know, on Lucas and when healthy. You know, and obviously we have to be patient, but where we at right now, I feel comfortable that, you know, we can show up tomorrow and over the weekend and in Kansas City and have the right guys, you know, for certain spots. And obviously when Marty and Slade come back, you know, we're going to be a lot better.
Craig talked about Garcia, but what do you like about him?
Like the fastball. He's a veteran. He's been through a lot, right, in his career. So I don't think he's going to be, you know, intimidated by coming here and have a big role in the bullpen.
Do you anticipate Lucas going to be here tomorrow?
I believe Lucas was flying in tonight. Not sure where Garcia, where they were playing in Anaheim. So probably, you know, hop on the red eye or whatever, and hopefully he gets here tomorrow. If not, you know, whenever he's here. We're good.
You've obviously been through some defensive struggles early in the season. You've been up a lot. What have you seen since the All-Star break? And are you surprised that
Not surprised, because he's 162 and we're playing with kids, you know, they're learning. They're still learning, you know, because they play so well for a month and a half doesn't mean that, you know, it's the complete, you know, the development continues, you know, and you see it the way we're working, you know, every day we're challenging them to you know, in their defensive drills. We're adding stuff, you know, offensively for them to be better. So it doesn't stop, you know. Over the course of 162, you're going to go through stretches. You know, we're not perfect. And I said that we're not the best team. We have a very talented team. And, you know, our job as coaches is to continue, you know, working with them and helping them to be good big leaguers.
All right, so that's Alex Cora talking after a 10-6 loss against the Seattle Mariners tonight. And, you know, this is another one of those nights where you know you have a young team and, you know, just a sloppy game defensively. It really was one of the reasons, and one of the biggest reasons they lost tonight. And that's not to say Paxton was great, and I think Alex Cora probably hyped him up a little bit more than the performance deserved. In those post-game comments, not that he was going crazy about it, but, the way he was talking about Paxton specifically, he looked all right, you know, but that fifth inning, it just got away from this team. I mean, it starts off with a single, but then, Leo Rivas, he bunts it down, a great bunt down the first baseline, and just a huge defensive miscue there from Dom Smith, where I think he was just in between, you know, pocketing it and then throwing it to first base, and instead just pounds it into the ground, and that allows Haniger to get to third. And then Cora talked about it there. Victor Robles, he had a ball down the third baseline. Devers dove for it, got to it, but then was trying to figure out what to do and just reacted to the fact that there was a base runner close to him and Haniger, who went back to the bag. It wasn't a bad play, but it just didn't work out for the Sox. And then at that point, you have bases loaded with nobody out. And then a key E6 by Sadon Rafael on a ground ball that Randy Arozarena hit to him. That could have turned two. You could have had a 3-3 game with runner on third and two outs. Instead, everybody's safe. Game's tied at three. And then Cal Raleigh ends up striking out. They bring in Zach Kelly for Justin Turner. And he bounces one to first. That also could have been a double play. But Dom Smith, instead of fielding it cleanly, just knocked it down. And they end up getting the out. And then a walk to Jorge Polanco brings up Dylan Moore. He hits a three-run double. And then at that point, the game really is in the Mariners' favor, and again they hang on to win 10-6. But that's only part of the equation for tonight, because the trade deadline just passed, and we should talk about all the moves that the Red Sox have made or did make right before the trade deadline. We also want to hear from you, 617-779-7937, and let's get the calls rolling, and then Zach and I can both give our grades for what we give the trade deadline, because I have some thoughts on it. I know he has some thoughts on it, but let's go to the phones first. We kick it off with David from Florida. What's going on, David?
Breslow, I mean, a very tepid approach. Very, I mean, it was just very perfunctory. He did something just to say he did stuff. I mean, he didn't get any top quality players. He didn't get any frontline pitchers. He didn't do anything to address the defense on the team. Just some basic, insufficient maneuverings that will provide very little help for the team. Today's game, I mean, I'm ready to call their defense just a bunch of horse manure, because that's what it is.
Well, we keep it. Thanks for keeping it PG there, David. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, I could have used some more profane words, but I'll just stick with horse manure.
Well, first off, we would dump it. We would kick you off too. So thanks for not doing that. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can put the best Steve. You can put a bunch of Gold Glove infielders there, and you can put the best pitching staff in the history of baseball on the mound. They are not it would make no difference, because you will never be able to overcome horrible defense. You can put the 20 Yankees in there, and it's irrelevant. You cannot. I mean, they're just not professional players. And Cora needs to treat them like a bunch of high school ragtag kids that they are. Get them up at 5 in the morning, make them do wind sprints with Wally.
No, yes. David. These are professional baseball players that play every day.
No, they're unprofessional. They're unprofessional baseball idiots. And they need to be woken up at the crack of dawn, and they need to run wind sprints with Wally the Green Monster like they did in the movie Miracle.
All right, David. I appreciate the call. We got to let you go. It's always a buildup with David from Florida. And not to say that the defense was good tonight. It wasn't. It really killed this team tonight, and it's killed them in a lot of games this year. You're not waking them up at 5 in the morning, though.
Wind sprints with Wally is insane.
Yeah, that would be some sight to see. I remember, you know, it's funny, quick story. I was in high school when I was playing high school baseball. My coach was trying to get us to do foul pull to foul pull. He's like, all right, you guys got to do it 20 times because he was so frustrated by how we were practicing. And then he saw how many people were struggling to do that. So after 6, he was just like, we're done. like he's like, all right, we'll just cut our losses there. No, this team needs to be better defensively. It does. But they've been hamstrung all season long by this shortstop position because of the injury to Trevor Story. And that in part has really brought the defense as a whole down. Because Sadon Rafaela, he makes some really nice plays at short, and I think the metrics I think make him look worse than what we do see, like just with the naked eye. But that play was a killer in the fifth inning, the E6. The fielder's choice in E6 off the bat of Randy Arozarena, because that really changed the complexion of the game, because you still had nobody out, and then you still had the bases loaded, but that was just one part of that whole inning that was an entire mess. And then the E2 by Connor Wong trying to gun down Dylan Moore at second base, that allows Jorge Polanco to come in to score, which was the final tally for the Mariners. It just was sloppy all the way around. Again, the trade deadline part of it that David brought up, and we want to hear from you. We want to hear what grade you give them, what you're thinking now after the trade deadline has come and gone. I know Zach and I have some thoughts on it, and we want to hear from you too. So where I stand on it, I thought they did fine. But will fine be good enough to get this team to the postseason? I'm not so sure. They helped shore up the bullpen. They got Lucas Sims, who he's a little bit wild, like his walk rate's at 13%, but he's been a high leverage guy for the Reds, who came into tonight with the fourth best bullpen ERA in the sport, and he's got a 3.27 ERA since the start of 2023. They only gave up a 19-year-old right-hander in Ovis Portes, who's, you know, he just got called up to High A Salem, so who knows if he's going to be actually good. And he'll be help this team out down the stretch. Garcia, they give up 4 prospects for. Luis Garcia, Nico Cavadas, Matthew Lugo, Ryan Zephyrjohn, and Jefferson Vargas. None of those guys, I mean, they all had like a little bit of they all have promise. I shouldn't say they don't have promise, but they weren't any of the Red Sox top prospects. They had to figure out their future soon, at least for a couple of those guys. Matthew Lugo, Rule 5, eligible in 2024. Same goes for Ryan Zephyrjohn, and same goes for Nico Cavadas. So they had to figure out what they wanted to do with these guys. And I think with where this team should be set up next year, those guys probably shouldn't be on the 40-man roster, because this team will be hopefully stronger next year. So I like the moves that they made there with both of those guys. And, you know, I do think Danny Jansen's better than Ruiz McGuire, and James Paxton's a nice depth piece. The problem is none of those guys get you super-duper excited. So to me, it's a B to B minus type of trade deadline. And it's somewhere in the B to C plus range. So maybe I'll settle at B minus. They did what they needed to do and get some bullpen help. They did get a right-handed bat technically, and at least they did upgrade at the backup catcher spot. And then they did get somebody that can give them some innings. The problem is there were better options out in the trade market, and the Red Sox didn't get those guys. So I can't go too crazy about it, but it is better than last year, where they really didn't do anything to help them out for that team and address some of the needs that that team had. So I'm satisfied in a way with what the Sox did, because they addressed some needs, but it doesn't make me go crazy about what they did. And Zach, I know you have some thoughts on this too.
Yeah, so Surprisingly enough, I really like the Quinn Priester for Nick York swap.
And that one's good, too. I keep forgetting that one in the aggregate here because I'm more thinking about what they have at the big league level at this point. But you're right. That was a good move, too.
Yeah, so I think that was probably the best move that they made. It was a creative move where you swap two stock-down former first-round pick, former top 100 prospects. I think I saw the Sox prospect guys say that if you keep Priester down for 24 days, you get him through 2030 instead of 2029. So I assume he's going to be down there for those 24 days. But to me, it was just too much around the edges. Like, they added a couple relievers. Like, they added nice pieces, don't get me wrong. And I do think that once they get Slayton, Martin, and Hendricks back healthy, that they're going to have one of the best bullpens in the league. But it just wasn't enough from an offensive standpoint. Like, the entire lead up to the deadline, we were hearing they want to add a right-handed bat with versatility, and Danny Jansen's a great backup catcher, but that's all he is. He's just a backup catcher. He can't play anywhere else. So you didn't get a versatile right-handed bat, and not to mention Connor Wong, who's been swinging the bat well this year, is also a right-handed hitter. So now you're going to try him at second base. Like, that just doesn't seem like a great recipe to improve your infield defense, which was a catastrophe tonight. And again, James Paxton is a really nice piece at the back end of your rotation, but I said this last week, I was kind of looking for someone to slot in and be like a workhorse number three to take some of the pressure off of Houck and Cutter, who we were seeing start to wear down over the last month or so.
Yeah, and I was excited at a point there, Zach, and I'm sure you felt the same way too, that the Red Sox, according to the national reporters, were showing interest in trying to acquire Jack Flaherty. Now, the Yankees ended up staying away from him because they were worried, I think it was about his back. That was the concern about Jack Flaherty. So they didn't end up going to make that move. And instead, you know, again, like the Red Sox, they ended up just settling with James Paxton in terms of being that starting pitcher acquisition. And then the Dodgers, it's always the Dodgers. The Dodgers once again pounce at a guy like Jack Flaherty. And now they hope he is that move that bolsters that club down the stretch. They also get Michael Kopech as well. And the Dodgers, I mean, I think they're one of the big winners of this trade deadline with all the guys that they ended up adding. And once again, they have that prospect capital to go out and get those guys. I mean, Zach, that's why I'm not going over the moon about it. Like, I think you make a lot of good points there, you know, about all these things that they've done. They've acquired players that are useful for this current team, but maybe not the best versions of the type of acquisitions that they could have gotten. And I think that's where this all settles in, and we can all sit back and say, they did do something, right? Unlike last year, they did do something, but it's not as if you're over the moon crazy about it, and then you're kind of left with, okay, so how should I really be feeling? And that's why that B- is where I give the grade, because they added, but they didn't go... I wonder how much of a difference it ultimately makes, even though I don't think they gave up anything totally crazy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Go ahead, Zach.
Oh, okay. Ultimately, I think, like, I mean, you said you're in the B- range. I think I'm in the C-C- range, so we're not that far apart. It's just a little frustrating when you look, like I said, like, I think this team could have, I guess hypothetically they still could, make a run to the World Series with the right additions.
Yeah. Yep, and we'll see, obviously, how it all plays out. 617-779-7937. We have a couple of people hanging on. Paul in Westfield, AJ in Dover. We're going to get to you guys. We have to take a break. We will get to you coming up right after this. And if you want to grab their line, 617, or grab a separate line, 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. This is Red Sox Review here on WEI. We'll be right back. More trade deadline talk coming up right after this.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter. And Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Two down, bases loaded for Moore. The pitch is high in the air into left field. This thing is crushed. O'Neill is back at the wall, and it is off the top of the wall. It goes past O'Neill. Duran there to back it up, but it clears the bases. It is a three-run double for Dylan Moore, and the bad defense for the Red Sox comes back to bite them in this inning. It is 7-3 Seattle.
So again, that's sometimes where the mental side of the game becomes so important. You know, you realize you got away with Polanco, so now you got a 207 hitter up, and you try and make the perfect pitch, and you leave it up in the zone. Or, you know, sometimes that 0-2 pitch, you're trying to make it extra nasty, and you leave it up in the zone. So, I mean, the inning's not over, even though you have the odds in your favor.
Fifth inning for the Red Sox. Five runs for the Mariners and a lot of defensive miscues in that frame. Two errors that were tagged to the Red Sox in that inning, but some tough plays out there in the field that end up really hurting this team, and they fall 10-6 tonight against the Seattle Mariners. James Paxton loses in his first game back with the Red Sox after being traded from the Los Angeles Dodgers. Joe Weil with you here, still at Fenway Park. Zach Coe back at WEEI. As we talk about the trade deadline, we talk about tonight, we get to hear from you too. 617-779-7937. We want to hear how you're feeling after the trade deadline. Do you like the moves the Red Sox made? Do you not like what they did at the trade deadline? Do you wish they did more? All that's on the table for you. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Paul in Westfield. He wants to talk about the game here tonight at Fenway Park. What's going on, Paul?
Well, if David says, is this a bovine excrement pile or a better team, we'll have to ask it. Joe Wild. Hey, it's been a while after last. Hey, it's good to hear you making sense. And there's some clear, definitive answers I can give you. Hey, I'm on WWLP Court Street Cam right now with the cat on the Patriots blanket, my singing cat on the radio. So I got my Joe Wild and EEI banner. And this is very simple. The One quick point about Paxton, Joe. You tend to let facts get in the way. If you study him at the beginning of the year, the first 2 months, he's awesome. And then something changed. You know, I hate to imply that they're using enhancement, but it's two separate pitchers. And you can find the pitcher he was the first 2 months. Instead of think tonight, hey, Ma, I'm pitching in Boston. It's the fifth inning. Turn on the TV and watch me. I'm getting it done. And bam, what did you describe? The Titanic through the Bermuda Triangle. That error literally spun the game in an entirely new direction. And I didn't realize what you said is, you know, it's an eye-opener that they tend to have lapses of focus and can be at the lowest levels of the defensive in many parameters. And you said we've given up seven or more run games in six games in a row. My God, son, it's like a screen door submarine. So here's the answer to your question. This is a six-game skid bid, not a 20-game sample. This is an even swap, like if so, it's so. Like you said, we didn't give up anything too major to get Paxton and the other pitcher. And we'll know the answer to your question when we head into the last 20 games. Remember, we still have 50-plus games, so don't get up or down. Get back to where you were. And I think the biggest question and answer is this. It's not so much that we did a big move at the trade deadline, but since the All-Star break, it's like we're a different team. I think to quote Cora said many years ago, I think what we have in the locker room is what we need now. We just need to bring out the best of what we can be. And they can be hell of a good. You know, what the hell happened last night? They had 14 runs and knocked the crap out of them and then given up seven later on. It's not like we don't have an explosive offense, and it's not like Durant can't throw people off in center field, and it's not like I haven't seen them play some wicked defense and save games. So it's yin and yang. Tonight was the yang. We got to get back to the yang, and then we'll have a chance to sing. We definitely have a playoff chance. We've got 50 games left.
Now, they definitely have a playoff chance, and Paul, appreciate the call. That was like a Mad Libs of a call there from Paul. He went so many different directions there, but we get that from Paul from Westfield. And yeah, I mean, the defense wasn't good. I think the biggest thing about what we've seen since the All-Star break is the pitching staff has just been atrocious. I mean, they've been the worst pitching team in baseball since the trade deadline. Injuries are a part of it. Guys are tired. You know, it's not like they're not trying. It's just that the results have not been there. And they lead Major League Baseball in blown saves. They lead, they're the worst in the sport in ERA since the All-Star break. And it got worse after tonight. So it's a very troubling trend. Hopefully the reinforcements that the Red Sox have gotten at the trade deadline, like a Luis Garcia or a Lucas Sims, really can help out that unit specifically. But the starters have to be better. And well, it's a big start for Brian Bayo tomorrow against the Mariners here in the rubber match of that three-game set after losing tonight 10-6. Pitching right now is a storyline for me, along with the defense, obviously. But can this pitching staff get itself on the right track? Because this team's going nowhere if they continue to pitch like this. Again, 617-779-7937. Let's go to AJ in Dover. He has some trade deadline thoughts. What's going on, AJ? AJ, you there? Yeah, I hear a fumbling of the phone. AJ, are you there? All right. Let's go to Glenn in New Orleans before we have to hit a break here. What's going on, Glenn?
Hey, AJ just got an E6 for that move.
E-phone.
Yeah. As far as the trade deadline, to me, they made moves just to kind of say that they made some moves. It's all on the edges. Everything I've seen or read, it's like a C- to C from all of the talking heads about the different moves that they made. Hopefully the bullpen pieces can do something, but Ramirez last night or tonight, that was awful. So That didn't start out well. He would get an F for tonight's appearance. Paxton, I'd give him a C. The defense is the first thing you got to do if you want to play baseball is catch it and throw it. You can't play the game if you can't catch it or throw it. So it's just more the same, unfortunately. But I'll keep watching.
I know you will, Glenn. I know you will. And I appreciate you chiming in as always. And was thinking about you a little bit when the Red Sox took out James Paxton in the fifth inning when he was only up to 72 pitches, because I know that's a big thing for you. But I, you know, again, I understand you have Justin Turner up at the plate. He's been worse against right-handed pitchers, and they ended up getting a ground ball. Zach Kelly comes into the game, but then it snowballs on him a little bit. He has to get taken out, and then you burn him. But again, in the end, we'll see how the reinforcements help this team, this Red Sox club, especially the relievers. And you know, I don't think we'll see if we see Quinn Priester at all this year, who was traded by the Pirates when Nick York was sent from the Red Sox to the Pirates. A lot to still discuss here on the show. We'll get to it right after this. 617-779-7937. We're taking a quick break. We'll come back with more right after this on WEEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Good for you, I guess you moved on really easily. You found a new girl and it only took a couple weeks.
All right, the Red Sox fall 10-6 tonight against the Seattle Mariners. First game since the trade deadline, which of course came at 6 p.m. tonight. It came, it went. Red Sox made some moves. Maybe it wasn't the most noteworthy of moves across the Major League Baseball landscape. And Zach and I were giving our grades for, you know, what we thought the Red Sox did. And I think I've settled in that B-minus, C-plus range for you know, just taking into consideration all that they did. They did do something, which I liked, that they got James Paxton, so they add another starter into the mix, and they've added some really intriguing bullpen arms while not giving up all that much to get them. And if you missed it, they got Lucas Sims, and then Luis Garcia as well. Garcia coming over from the Angels, Lucas Sims coming from the Reds, and those two guys are really desperately needed for this bullpen that needs more depth, needs some quality arms, and both of those guys have been quality pitchers this year and intrigued by what they can bring, even if they do have some holes in their games coming into this situation. And both guys that are 30 or older, Garcia, he's 37, Sims is 30, but I trust the pitching infrastructure that the Sox have. I'm very intrigued by Quinn Priester, the 23-year-old that they got from the Pirates, and they traded away Nick York, and they didn't deal any of their top prospects. So the big three, or if you want to add Christian Campbell and say the big four, they're still in the system. They keep some other intriguing players like Chase Meidroff. He didn't go in a trade as well. They trade guys, a lot of which were Rule 5 eligible here coming up, and then a lot of younger players that, you know, wouldn't have made an impact for at least 2 to 3 years at the minimum. So overall, I like what they did. The only thing is they didn't make the noteworthy trade that you may have seen across the Major League Baseball landscape. They weren't the Dodgers who got Michael Kopech, or even more importantly, Jack Flaherty or Tommy Edman. They got a lot of really big pieces. Hopefully, for their sake, they're hoping could be big difference makers down the stretch. The Orioles kind of had an interesting trade deadline, I thought, too. They did get Zach Eflin, and they got Trevor Rogers. They didn't trade those top prospects that they have to get a Tarek Skubal, and maybe the Tigers were asking for so much that they just felt like they couldn't go out and deliver that. But with the way the American League is setting up, it's a down year, I think, for the American League, and in that there's a lot of solid teams, but at the top, I would say right now it is the Orioles, Guardians, and I guess you can now put the Yankees back in that mix because of how well they're playing, and they ended up winning tonight. Again, 617-779-7937. We got about 5 or 6 minutes here before we have to duck out, so let's get through some calls. Let's go to AJ in Dover. He was trying to work his phone when we went to him the first time, so let's try him again. What's going on, AJ?
How's it going, man? How's it going?
All righty. We got you this time, AJ. What's going on?
Not too much. How long do I got? Because I could definitely put out a 1,000-word edit that could probably get more clicks than the...
We won't give you a 1,000. We won't give you a 1,000. We won't give you a 1,000 words. Just you can just get your thoughts out, and we'll react to them.
The overarching theme, I think, is Lord Henry Vader hanging over like a specter over Craig Breslow with one hand on the wallet. You know, if you look at it, they got only rental players. And the guys they gave up, sure, they might not be a consequence, but you look in the league and it was a seller's market. But I think that two examples, Paul DeJong and Taylor Rogers, if you look at the comparative prospects that they gave up, there was no reason why, if you're giving up six prospects between Jansen and Garcia for rentals, that you can't put some combination of those and get those two guys. Or Bell got shipped off to the Diamondbacks for a bag of balls, and De La Cruz from the Marlins could have been a right-handed DH. He got given away for their 28th-ranked prospect, and he went to the Giants, I think. So I think that their returns on their prospects were underwhelming.
Yeah, De La Cruz went to the Pirates. Yeah, he went to the Pirates. Yep.
I did like the Quinn Priester move, though. I hope it pans out.
All right, AJ, appreciate the call there. I guy you couldn't tell if he just hung up there. Zach, I'm trying to figure out what he was. I know he was upset with what the Red Sox did, but I'm trying to figure out where he was going with the rest of that call and about the trade market itself. Could you make that out?
So I think what he was saying is when you look around the league and look at the other prospects that were given up for guys maybe of a little bit more consequence than what you added, like they just as easily could have done that. But the one pushback against that theory is that each farm system is different, and you don't know how those teams view the Red Sox farm system and their players based on how they might view, we'll use the Brian De La Cruz example, the Pirates farm system. Like, they might think the Pirates' 28th best prospect is better than a prospect in your system. So I don't really like doing that type of comparison, but I do kind of understand the argument.
Yeah, and this was an interesting trade deadline, and he hit on it too. Like, it was a seller's market. You looked at some of the moves that were made by certain teams and how much relievers cost, and I think the Red Sox just weren't willing to, if Craig Breslow wasn't willing to give up so much to get somebody or get a reliever specifically that he felt like wasn't worth the value of maybe giving up one of those upper echelon prospects, which I can understand with where this team is at. And this is one thing I want to touch on before we get to the next caller. Like, I do hope next year, and Zach and I were talking about this in the break, I hope next year we can finally get to a point where the Red Sox are trading for known commodities, where like their 50th percentile is a productive big league player. We're hoping Quinn Priester's good. We're hoping that Lucas Sims can really harness his stuff. He's already been a pretty good reliever, especially since the month of May this year. But you worry about the walk rate. And then, you know, I think from the bullpen side, you kind of know what you're getting. But I think when the Red Sox, as they make these trades and as we move forward here, they need to get known commodities rather than just hoping. And I think that's what we're kind of leaning on. We're hoping Danny Jansen can figure it out offensively and be a solid backup catcher, which I think he'll do a better job than Reese McGuire. But we're hoping that those numbers can turn around a little bit offensively. We're hoping Quinn Priester can be a solid pitcher for the Red Sox at some point. And then on that hoping front, we're hoping that James Paxton can, one, stay healthy, and then, two, on top of that, be productive as he goes out there on the mound, because the Dodgers did DFA him, and that has to be in consideration here when talking about James Paxton and as this conversation moves forward about him. Hopefully the Red Sox can figure out a formula to make him be productive, which he's been with the Dodgers, but again, there was a lot that worried, I think, Los Angeles about the underlying metrics of what he brought to the table. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Jackson in Arlington. He wants to talk about tonight. What's going on, Jackson?
Yeah, after listening to these conversations, I feel like everyone is brainwashed into thinking we're a small market team. Think about what we're talking about. Johan Gonzalez, we have the highest priced baseball tickets in the Northern Hemisphere. I'm watching Johan Gonzalez throw balls at people's heads into the backstop, and we have to sit and
You're
watch
talking
it?
About Johan Ramirez. Wait, hold on. Johan Ramirez.
Yeah, sorry. I'm fired up. And, you know, to have to watch that, we're talking about Jensen, a 212 hitter, hoping he can turn it around.
No, that's what I'm talking about, right?
This is the team that you had commented that they're going to make a run if they make the right places for the World Series? What are we talking about here? What happened to this team? What happened to this fan base?
Well, if you heard me, I said that I no longer think that they made those right moves.
Yeah, that was it. Zach didn't even say that they're going to go to the World Series.
He said if we make the right moves, they can make a run.
Which they didn't.
Which he's saying they didn't make the right moves, Jackson. So I think you heard that wrong.
Well, whether I heard it right or wrong, I mean, basically people just go to listen to Sweet Caroline and leave. No one cares about the game.
I disagree. Jackson, I appreciate the call here, but I disagree with that. I think what Cora said recently kind of hit it on the head, that at the beginning of the season, it felt more like that, right? He said, you know, talking about the Fenway experience and how it felt like, I just want to make sure I get the quote up right, but talking about how it felt more like a museum than an actual, you know, like an actual ball game, what he's experienced as a player, the best part of it. And then, you know, obviously as a manager in 2018 and in 2021. So I disagree with where it currently is. You know, he said, I have the quote up now because I wanted to make sure I quoted it correctly. He said, early in the season, with all due respect, it felt like a museum, the Fenway experience. But now the fans are into it. They like the team. They understand what we're trying to accomplish. And then talked about how it feels like the old days for him back at the ballpark. And I really have to make sure I get this out there because I was here. And the fans were so into it tonight, especially as they started to put together a little rally in the seventh inning. So I couldn't disagree with that more. Don't blame the fans. The fans are into it. They're rooting for a team that's likable. I understand where, you know, the in terms of the expectations and where we're at right now. And, you know, if the Red Sox don't make the playoffs, that's going to be 3 years in a row in which they didn't make the playoffs. That'd be frustrating. And I think what I'm saying and what Zach was also saying is that if this team next year doesn't change the philosophy and actually go after players that we know are good, that would be really concerning. And I know we've kind of done this song and dance, you know, before. I worked for EI last year and talked about the trade deadline. And, you know, I sat here, or I remember after they won a game against the Braves in late July, and I'm like, okay, this team should buy. Then they didn't. And we watched what ended up happening the rest of the season. They folded. They ended up finishing in last place. This year's team, I think, is different than last year's team, and Craig Breslow did a different job at this year's trade deadline than Chaim Bloom did at last year's deadline. They actually addressed some stuff, even if it wasn't doing the most high-end version of addressing those things. And the point I'm trying to get across is that better happen next year. At the very least this year, they did make some moves to help out this year's team. Craig Breslow talked about the urgency of helping this year's team because he said, you know, they weren't willing to wait for guys to get healthy, and he acted and actually did get some pieces without giving up all that much, and especially dealing some guys that were on the precipice of being Rule 5 eligible coming into the offseason. They dealt 10 prospects. 5 of them were Rule 5 eligible. And 4 of them are high minors bats. 3 are low minors arms. And 7 of them were in the Sox Prospect Top 60. And I want to thank Ian Kundle of Sox Prospects for putting this all together so that it was pretty easily understandable in terms of what the Red Sox ended up dealing away from this trade deadline from a prospect perspective. But they did add, right? We wanted them to be buyers. They were buyers. The extent of which they were buyers, we can debate that. And I get you, the fan out there, hoping that they did more, right? Because when you saw Jack Flaherty be tied in with rumors about the Sox and maybe they were going to go out and get him, and that could have really changed the way things felt around here coming into tonight, right? That would have been a more of a high feeling. I think it's totally acceptable to be like, yeah, they did fine. They didn't do poorly. I think they did fine. But the question now becomes, was doing fine at the trade deadline enough? And we will wait to find out. But tonight, Red Sox ball 10-6 against the Mariners. They have a late afternoon game tomorrow. It's a 4:10 start. MassMutual pregame show starts at 3:10. And now we're finally past the trade deadline. We know what this team is starting to look like. We'll see if the bullpen arms that they've acquired will be here tomorrow. And we'll see if the Red Sox can win this series against the Mariners and get a bounce back. And hopefully the pitching can right itself in that game tomorrow. Big start for Brian Baio, opposite of George Kirby. Want to thank Zach Coe. There were a couple days there where we weren't back together. We were back. And Zach, hopefully this trade deadline ends up paying off. We'll wait to find out.
Yeah, let's hope so. We'll wait to find out.
We will wait on Quinn Priester. But in the meantime, we'll see how the Sox team does tomorrow. Thanks for joining us for Red Sox Review. Have a great night. Talk to you soon.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more rips, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Good for you, I guess you moved on really easily. You found a new girl and it only took a couple weeks.
All right, the Red Sox fall 10-6 tonight against the Seattle Mariners. First game since the trade deadline, which of course came at 6 p.m. tonight. It came, it went. Red Sox made some moves. Maybe it wasn't the most noteworthy of moves across the Major League Baseball landscape. And Zach and I were giving our grades for, you know, what we thought the Red Sox did, and I think I've settled in that B minus C plus range for you know, just taking into consideration all that they did. They did do something which I liked, that they got James Paxton, so they add another starter into the mix, and they've added some really intriguing bullpen arms while not giving up all that much to get them. And if you missed it, they got Lucas Sims, and then Luis Garcia as well. Garcia coming over from the Angels, Lucas Sims coming from the Reds, and those two guys are really desperately needed for this bullpen that needs more depth, needs some quality arms, and both of those guys have been quality pitchers this year and intrigued by what they can bring, even if they do have some holes in their games coming into this situation. And both guys that are 30 or older, Garcia, he's 37, Sims is 30, but I trust the pitching infrastructure that the Sox have. I'm very intrigued by Quinn Priester, the 23-year-old that they got from the Pirates, and they traded away Nick York, and they didn't deal any of their top prospects. So the big three, or if you want to add Christian Campbell and say the big four, they're still in the system. They keep some other intriguing players like Chase Meidroth. He didn't go in a trade as well. They trade guys, a lot of which were Rule 5 eligible here coming up, and then a lot of younger players that, you know, wouldn't have made an impact for at least 2 to 3 years at the minimum. So overall, I like what they did. The only thing is they didn't make the noteworthy trade that you may have seen across the Major League Baseball landscape. They weren't the Dodgers who got Michael Kopech, or even more importantly, Jack Flaherty or Tommy Edman. They got a lot of really big pieces, hopefully, for their sake, they're hoping could be big difference makers down the stretch. The Orioles kind of had an interesting trade deadline, I thought, too. They did get Zach Eflin, and they got Trevor Rogers. They didn't trade those top prospects that they have to get a Tarek Skubal, and maybe the Tigers were asking for so much that they just felt like they couldn't go out and deliver that. But with the way the American League is setting up, it's a down year, I think, for the American League, and in that there's a lot of solid teams. But at the top, I would say right now it is the Orioles, Guardians, and I guess you can now put the Yankees back in that mix because of how well they're playing, and they ended up winning tonight. Again, 617-779-7937. We got about 5 or 6 minutes here before we have to duck out, so let's get through some calls. Let's go to AJ in Dover. He was trying to work his phone when we went to him the first time, so let's try him again. What's going on, AJ?
How's it going, man? How's it going?
All righty, we got you this time, AJ. What's going on?
Not too much. How long do I got? Because I could definitely put out a 1,000-word edict that could probably get more clicks than the.
We won't give you 1,000. We won't give you 1,000. We won't give you 1,000 words. Just you can just get your thoughts out, and we'll react to them.
All right. The overarching theme, I think, is Lord Henry Vader hanging over like a specter over Craig Breslow with one hand on the wallet. You know, if you look at it, they got only rental players. And the guys they gave up, sure, they might not be a consequence, but you look in the league and it was a seller's market. But I think that two examples, Paul DeJong and Taylor Rogers, if you look at the comparative prospects that they gave up, there was no reason why, if you're giving up six prospects between Jansen and Garcia for rentals, that you can't put some combination of those and get those two guys. Or Bell got shipped off to the Diamondbacks for a bag of balls, and De La Cruz from the Marlins could have been a right-handed DH. He got given away for their 28th-ranked prospect, and he went to the Giants, I think. So I think that their returns on their prospects were underwhelming.
Yeah, De La Cruz went to the Pirates. Yeah, he went to the Pirates. Yep.
I did like the Quinn Priester move, though. I hope it pans out.
All right, AJ, appreciate the call there. Guy, you couldn't tell if he just hung up there. Zach, I'm trying to figure out what he was. I know he was upset with what the Red Sox did, but I'm trying to figure out where he was going with the rest of that call and about the trade market itself. Could you make that out?
So I think what he was saying is, when you look around the league and look at the other prospects that were given up for guys maybe of a little bit more consequence than what you added, like, they just as easily could have done that. But the one pushback against that theory is that each farm system is different, and you don't know how those teams view the Red Sox farm system and their players based on how they might view, we'll use the Brian De La Cruz example, the Pirates farm system. Like, they might think the Pirates' 28th best prospect is better than a prospect in your system. So I don't really like doing that type of comparison, but I do kind of understand the argument.
Yeah, and this was an interesting trade deadline, and he hit on it too. Like, it was a seller's market. You looked at some of the moves that were made by certain teams and how much relievers cost, and I think the Red Sox just weren't willing to, if Craig Breslow wasn't willing to give up so much to get somebody or get a reliever specifically that he felt like wasn't worth the value of maybe giving up one of those upper echelon prospects, which I can understand with where this team is at. And this is one thing I want to touch on before we get to the next caller. Like, I do hope next year, and Zach and I were talking about this in the break, I hope next year we can finally get to a point where the Red Sox are trading for known commodities, where like their 50th percentile is a productive big league player. We're hoping Quinn Priester's good. We're hoping that Lucas Sims can really harness his stuff. He's already been a pretty good reliever, especially since the month of May this year. But you worry about the walk rate. And then, you know, I think from the bullpen side, you kind of know what you're getting. But I think when the Red Sox, as they make these trades and as we move forward here, they need to get known commodities rather than just hoping. And I think that's what we're kind of leaning on. We're hoping Danny Jansen can figure it out offensively and be a solid backup catcher, which I think he'll do a better job than Reese McGuire. But we're hoping that those numbers can turn around a little bit offensively. We're hoping Quinn Priester can be a solid pitcher for the Red Sox at some point. And then on that hoping front, we're hoping that James Paxton can, one, stay healthy, and then, two, on top of that, be productive as he goes out there on the mound, because the Dodgers did DFA him, and that has to be in consideration here when talking about James Paxton and as this conversation moves forward about him. Hopefully the Red Sox can figure out a formula to make him be productive, which he's been with the Dodgers, but again, there was a lot that worried, I think, Los Angeles about the underlying metrics of what he brought to the table. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Jackson in Arlington. He wants to talk about tonight. What's going on, Jackson?
Yeah, after listening to these conversations, I feel like everyone is brainwashed into thinking we're a small market team. Think about what we're talking about. Johan Gonzalez? We have the highest priced baseball tickets in the Northern Hemisphere. I'm watching Johan Gonzalez throw balls at people's heads into the backstop, and we have to sit
here. You're talking about Johan Ramirez. Wait, hold on. Johan Ramirez.
Yeah, sorry. I'm fired up. And, you know, to have to watch that, we're talking about Jensen, a 212 hitter, hoping he can turn it around.
No, that's what I'm talking about, right?
This is the team that you had commented that they're going to make a run if they make the right places for the World Series? What are we talking about here? What happened to this team? What happened to this fan base?
Well, if you heard me, I said that I no longer think that they made those right moves.
Yeah, that was it. Zach didn't even say that they're going to go to the World Series.
He said if we make the right moves, they can make a run.
Which they didn't.
Which he's saying they didn't make the right moves, Jackson. So I think you heard that wrong.
Well, whether I heard it right or wrong, I mean, basically people just go to listen to Sweet Caroline and leave. No one cares about the game.
Nah,
it's there to be seen. They don't care.
I disagree. Jackson, I appreciate the call here, but I disagree. I disagree with that. I think what Cora said recently kind of hit it on the head, that at the beginning of the season it felt more like that, right? He said, it, you know, talking about the Fenway experience and how it felt like, I just want to make sure I get the quote up right, but talking about how it felt more like a museum than an actual, you know, like an actual ball game, what he's experienced as a player, the best part of it, and then, you know, obviously as a manager in 2018 and 2021. So I disagree with where it currently is. You know, he said, I have the quote up now because I wanted to make sure I quoted it correctly. He said, early in the season, with all due respect, it felt like a museum, the Fenway experience. But now the fans are into it. They like the team. They understand what we're trying to accomplish. And then talked about how it feels like the old days for him back at the ballpark. And I really have to make sure I get this out there because I was here. And the fans were so into it tonight, especially as they started to put together a little rally in the seventh inning. So I couldn't disagree with that more. Don't blame the fans. The fans are into it. They're rooting for a team that's likable. I understand where, you know, the in terms of the expectations and where we're at right now. And, you know, if the Red Sox don't make the playoffs, that's going to be 3 years in a row in which they didn't make the playoffs. That'd be frustrating. And I think what I'm saying, and what Zach was also saying, is that if this team next year doesn't change the philosophy and actually go after players that we know are good, that would be really concerning. And I know we've kind of done this song and dance, you know, before. I worked for EI last year and talked about the trade deadline. And, you know, I sat here, or I remember after they won a game against the Braves in late July, and I'm like, okay, this team should buy. And then they didn't. And we watched what ended up happening the rest of the season. They folded. They ended up finishing in last place. This year's team, I think, is different than last year's team. And Craig Breslow did a different job at this year's trade deadline than Chaim Bloom did at last year's deadline. They actually addressed some stuff, even if it wasn't doing the most high-end version of addressing those things. And the point I'm trying to get across is that better happen next year. At the very least this year, they did make some moves to help out this year's team. Craig Breslow talked about the urgency of helping this year's team because he said, you know, they weren't willing to wait for guys to get healthy. And, you know, and he acted and actually did get some pieces without giving up all that much, and especially dealing some guys that were on the precipice of being Rule 5 eligible coming into the offseason. They dealt 10 prospects. 5 of them were Rule 5 eligible, and 4 of them are high minors bats, 3 are low minors arms, and 7 of them were in the Sox prospect top 60. And I want to thank Ian Kundle of Sox Prospects for putting this all together so that it was pretty easily understandable in terms of what the Red Sox ended up dealing away from this trade deadline from a prospect perspective. But they did add, right? We wanted them to be buyers. They were buyers. The extent of which they were buyers, we can debate that. And I get you, the fan out there, hoping that they did more, right? Because when you saw Jack Flaherty be tied in with rumors about the Sox and maybe they were going to go out and get him, and that could have really changed the way things felt around here coming into tonight, right? That would have been a more of a high feeling. I think it's totally acceptable to be like, yeah, they did fine. They didn't do poorly. I think they did fine. But the question now becomes, was doing fine at the trade deadline enough? And we will wait to find out. But tonight, Red Sox fall 10-6 against the Mariners. They have a late afternoon game tomorrow. It's a 4:10 start. Mass Mutual pregame show starts at 3:10. And now we're finally past the trade deadline. We know what this team is starting to look like. We'll see if the bullpen arms that they've acquired will be here tomorrow. And we'll see if the Red Sox can win this series against the Mariners and get a bounce back. And hopefully the pitching can right itself in that game tomorrow. Big start for Brian Bayo, opposite of George Kirby. Want to thank Zach Coe. We were a couple days there where we weren't back together. We were back. And Zach, hopefully this trade deadline ends up paying off. We'll wait to find out.
Yeah, let's hope so. We'll wait to find out. Believe in Quinn Priester.
We will wait on Quinn Priester. But in the meantime, we'll see how the Sox team does tomorrow. Thanks for joining us for Red Sox Review. Have a great night. Talk to you soon.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.